Hello, everybody. What is going on? I hope everyone is doing well, and welcome back once again to a brand new episode of Sweeten Up Podcast, season number 2, episode number 91. I am your host, Jeff Spencer, and thank you so much for taking some time to join me today. I greatly appreciate it, whether you have for an entire season, an entire year, or you are today for the first time. Thank you so much for joining us. However, if you are just joining us for the first time, take a look back at our library of 90 episodes anytime you want, anywhere you listen to your podcasts. As always, if you like what you hear on the podcast today and you want to hear more, please be sure to tell all your friends and subscribe to the show anywhere you get your podcasts so that you never miss a future episode. The podcast is available on all major podcast platforms, and you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Sweeten Up Podcast. With that being said, my guest on the podcast today is the great and powerful Pier Luigi Mazzella. Born and raised on the beautiful island of Ischia, Italy, Pier Luigi Mazzella is the founder and owner of Fatto e Mano Bakery. His father is a professional fisherman on the island and showed their family what it really means to buy fresh and local. This passion for high-quality food never left Pier Luigi as he moved through his culinary-based high school and into the professional food industry. He worked his way around Italy in pizzerias, restaurants, and artisanal bakeries before coming to the United States to work in 2017. He then decided to quit his job to open his own bakery, Fatto e Mano, and well, the rest is history. I had a fantastic conversation with Pier Luigi, talking about his early days growing up in Italy, coming to the States, his ambitions of opening a bakery with a storefront, the time and effort that goes into everything he does, his thoughts on Connecticut and America, and so much more. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, my friend and one of the nicest guys around, the man, the myth, the legend, Pier Luigi Mazzella. Joining me on the podcast today, here inside my apartment, the first time we are having a live in-person podcast in my brand new apartment here at Brookfield Village in Brookfield, Connecticut, 802 Federal Road. And I'm super excited because sitting across from me is a guy who is taking Connecticut by storm, one piece of bread or pastry at a time. And he hails from Italy. And I'm just so honored to be sitting right here on my couch with this wonderful human being, the great and powerful Pier Luigi Mazzella. And How are you, PL? How's
it going? Thank you so much for having me here today. I cannot believe that we finally made it.
I know. We had a few reschedules that had to take place. Life got in the way a few times, as it likes to do. And but here we are. And I'm so excited that you could come check out Brookfield, Connecticut.
It's also beautiful here.
And my apartment and everything. So,
yeah. Never been here before. I think it's very nice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. And like we were saying, I feel like... you know, you should open a bakery below or something like that.
Should, yeah.
So for those listening right now who, you know, who's Pier Luigi? Pier Luigi is the owner of, and just say the name so I don't get it. I don't want to say it wrong.
Yeah, it's Fatto e Mano.
Fatto e Mano.
Yes.
All right, so Pier Luigi is the owner of Fatto e Mano.
Yes.
An incredible up-and-coming bakery that will be coming very soon, hopefully. But for right now, he's doing things out of his house and he's crushing it and... yeah, man. So how's it going?
Yeah,
how are you?
It's going great. Thank you for having me here again.
Yeah.
And we are getting busy daily. We are growing fast and we are looking for the day that we can actually, you know, like produce more because, you know, we run out of items quickly. You know, like we do bake sales like once a week mostly. And, you know, people are like, oh, you didn't even post your pre-orders and they are already gone. It's less than 1 hour and you sell out. And, you know, we are like, I'm sorry, but it's not easy, you know, to keep it up. You know, like I work day and night, you know, trying to do my best to, you know, like satisfy everybody. But I'm also operating through my own kitchen. So it's not a real bigger, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And, you know, I feel like you just said, when you do your pre-orders for everyone out there and, you know, I'm sure we'll get into it further as the conversation goes, but definitely when he has the pre-orders on Sundays, get to the website as soon as they start, because they're gone in a blink of an eye, because they're in high demand.
We recommend people to set an alarm, you know, because sometimes they forget and then they got mad. They say, oh my God, I was waiting for that day.
Yeah.
I was waiting for Sunday. Yeah, usually pre-orders are on Sundays at 6 p.m. And then, you know, like we also do farmers markets like Westport and Trumbull. And also now, you know, because there are like holidays coming up, like Easter time, we will have even events coming closer. So yeah, you know, like there will be more chances to get our products, you know, like not just on Tuesdays pick up, but also during the week.
That's awesome. Yeah. Westport Farmers Market, tremendous. I got to get over to the one in Trumbull. Brookfield has one, so hey, maybe we'd love to have you over here in Brookfield.
One day,
we'll have to see. Yeah, why not?
As soon as we can.
Yeah, a little bit of a trek over here, but hey, you know, we'd love to have you.
I think that the farmers markets is something really important, and I fell in love with that because I see that people really believe in, you know, like recycling, you know, save the nature and, you know, eating properly and supporting especially locals, you know, because nowadays, you know, it's really hard to find good food, you know, like everybody talks about it, but nobody wants to do it. And, you know, it's pretty sad, you know, like, especially for me, you know, I'm coming from a little island in the Gulf of Naples called Ischia. And, you know, like there, it's like still many, many years ago. Like, you know, like it's an old generation life where everybody, you know, works like with their hands. And, you know, like they grow their own like food, vegetables. And, you know, there are still bakeries actually that bake their bread into masonry ovens, you know, wood fire oven.
Wow.
So
that's awesome. Yeah, no, that's the way it should be, man. I totally agree. And I think it's so important to eat right and, you know, protect the community and the environment and everything like that. I'm totally on board with all that. Yeah. So speaking of where you're from in Italy, definitely take me back to your earlier years. You know, what was it like being born and raised in Italy? Yeah. And what was your family doing? Because I know your family, they fish down there.
Yes.
So definitely talk to me about your childhood and everything like that.
I would love it. I would love to share my past with you.
Oh, sweet, sweet.
So my dad is a fisherman. He's been fisherman since he was a kid.
Cool.
He loves the sea. He's actually a fish, I think.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like...
I like seafood, so I think we'd get along pretty well.
Yeah. I feel like I'm really lucky because, you know, I didn't appreciate that as much as I do today. Well, you know, like living here, you know, like I see the differences. Talking about food, you know, like I can tell you that there are lots of things down there. They are like unique, special, and you can only get there maybe because of the environment or because of the tradition, you know, like, but people really love, they love, like, you know, keep doing that, you know, they don't care about like automated products, you know, like putting everything into a facility and do like, you know, a load of, you know, like crazy amounts of breads or, you know, like selling out, like, you know, not those crazy things like I've been seeing here, actually.
Right.
Yeah, I was impressed. When I came here the first time and my friend brought me to the store, I was like, this is not a store. This is a facility. And they're like, no, everything is like this here. You know, like you are not used to, but, you know, your little island, it's just, you know, like... something different, you know, like you cannot compare, you know, like where you are from to America, you know.
Right.
So I see, like, you know, America, everything is big, you know, like whatever you want. it's funny, you know, like I love it.
Sweet.
Because it's another environment and, you know, like it's really fun. Yeah. To me, you know, like coming from a little island, you know, where, you know, things are very simple and, yeah, like, you know, buying even a glass of, you know, like a bottle of water. Here, it's not possible to get like half liter. You got to get the 3 gallon water. Or like, you know, you want an apple. There are 3,000 type of apples, you know. No, it's not like that in Italy.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So, yeah, I mean, speaking of my father and my family and my roots there, I feel really nostalgic about that sometimes because there is lots missing here. My dad is a professional fisherman and he fed us like with fish. So I usually was eating like fish or breads. I mean, that was my diet down there. You know, they are humble people, you know, like a humble family, and you know, they didn't have so much money, so they had, you know, to get him by. You know, they were simple people, and you know, like, so I didn't, you know, like grow up with lots of money, you know, like, and having, you know, like the chance to do expensive schools on, you know, like buying, you know, like expensive cars or, you know, but also, you know, like you don't feel like you want that because the island, you know, like where I'm from, everything stays simple and, you know, you don't feel the needed and you don't even want that, I think. You want to keep it simple and real, you know, authentic and pure. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I would say, like, you know, I spend most of my time with my dad fishing. You know, he used to bring me with him in his boat, like, you know, like catching octopus or, sea urchin, you know, like it depends from the season.
And the waters in Italy must be beautiful,
it's
right?
It's fantastic, my friend.
Out there?
Oh my God, it's like crystal. You know?
I mean, a lot of people go out there to vacation from here you're just out there all the time fishing with your dad. That's awesome.
The island is like beautiful, especially during the summer because it wakes up, you know, like fish, the nature, birds, everything. I mean, everything. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, like I feel really nostalgic about fish, especially because it's just, you know, like different there. I think the sea, you know, like the saltiness in the fish and so the tomatoes, you know.
What's
like,
your favorite fish to eat?
I think octopus.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Octopus because it's...
that's my girlfriend's too.
Octopus.
Polpo.
Polpo, exactly. Polpo is an interesting fish. You know, he's really smart and, you know, like he makes funny things, you know, like I've been... Because, you know, my dad taught me fishing, like, you know, when I was little. So we usually catch octopus with our hands. You know, we go under the water and we know where they usually, you know, go hiding.
They're not violent, right?
They are good guys.
Okay.
They are no piovra or, you know, huge animals that you see in the movies. We have little octopus. They are perfect on a bruschetta, let me tell you. Like a toasted, you know, like piece of bread and you make little sauce of this little octopus. Oh man, it's unbelievable.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, or Christmas time, you can make a salad with it because on like winter time, the octopus keeps growing and becomes like pretty big. So that's the time when you have a salad of octopus and I mean, potatoes and parsley, fresh parsley and garlic and roasted or boiled octopus. It's nothing better. Freshness, you know, like I'm talking about.
Oh my gosh, that sounds... I'm getting hungry now. You can open a restaurant?
I thought about that before, but you know, I love bread. I love fermentation. You know, like I started like my journey in baking world as pizzaiolo. I used to make Napolitan style pizza in Ischia, and then I went to Naples. I spent like maybe 7-8 years doing that. So, you know, like working with the wood fire oven, you know, like I'm talking about the authentic style pizza, you know. So, fantastic. And
awesome.
Then I just fell in love about, you know, like the rest of the things like breads and pastries because it was all connected. And in Ischia, you know, like we have those bakeries that once that they open their windows and doors, the smell surrounds the whole island, man. I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, man. That's like a dream for me. to live in a place where you could just open your window and all these smells.
Yeah. Early morning, you know, you open your window of your house, you know, like whatever. If you are walking around as well and you can smell this beautiful smell of fresh baked bread or, you know, like there are pastry shop there because in Italy, you know, like we have pasticceria, which means pastry shop. Then we have panetteria or panificio, which is a bakery that only makes bread. And, you know, like it's not like here that you call bakery and they do like everything in one place. Yeah. So we have, you know, like specific like stores where you actually go only to picking up your pastry or your bread or your coffee, you know, like it's
interesting.
Not, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like you were saying, it's not like a facility. Yeah. It's not under one.
No, no.
It's not under one big.
Yeah.
That's cool though.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's very interesting. Yeah. To me, you know, for someone over here in America who has never experienced that, I don't know. I think that'd be kind of cool. Going to a store that specializes in one thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That'd be awesome.
You see artisanal places there, you know, they make their own gelato or sourdough breads.
I love gelato. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Or Napolitan style pizza. Or there is the rotisserie chicken. You know, those things are like going to be there forever. And, you know, that's not because it's a touristic spot, but it's because of part of the tradition. So, you know, you will never get rid of this, luckily.
So that's how your love of baking and pastry and everything like bread, that's how it started, making pizza.
Yeah, I started with Napolitan pizza because
very cool.
My mom, actually, she's the only one in the family.
You're good. No worries.
This is the alarm for my sourdough bread.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah. You know, my starter, my sourdough, it's like a pet.
Yeah, exactly.
So I spend more time with him than my wife sometimes.
Hey, sometimes you got it, right?
Yeah,
to make it happen.
So I was saying, you know, like I started as a pizzaiolo, and in my family, the only person that doesn't eat so much fish is my mom. She loves pizza, so she, you know, we saw her eating pizza like so much, you know, like two pizza a time, you know, only her, you know, it's unbelievable. So, you know, I loved pizza as well. And I say, you know, I want to learn this because it's such, you know, a crafty, you know, like you see, you know, like the pizzaiolo there stretching the pizza and the wood fire oven, you know, as a kid, you know, like you see the fire and you always think about, you know, like something magical. So that was for me the same thing. And I started as a pizzaiolo. And then, you know, like after like maybe 8-9 years, I say like, you know, there is so much to learn here, you know, like, so I did like a little experience in Naples and then I went to Tuscany, Florence. And yeah, I mean, you know, wow. I got lucky there too because
From Naples to Tuscany? Oh
yeah.
Man, poor you.
Good wine for sure.
Yeah.
Good meat, you know, they have such good meat. And even their pasta, I mean, unbelievable, you know, like their ragu with tagliatelle pasta or, oh my God. I mean, now you make me cry.
Oh man.
Yeah. So I think because of, you know, the city there, it's, you know, they have a more open mind also. So there were lots of people into fermentation. And, you know, I was like, sourdough bread, it's such an ancient thing. You know, like everybody talks about sourdough, but, you know, you don't see so many bakeries that actually use sourdough, you know.
Right.
And, you know, it's so simple, at the same time challenging, because you work with bacteria and yeast, you know, you don't see them, but they are there.
They're there,
and
yeah.
They surround us, actually, you know, bacteria, they are everywhere,
yep.
In the air, you know,
yep.
In your hands, you know, like, so I was like, I want to learn more. So I decided to study, you know, to take a whole journey into fermentation. I took like private classes, you know, with a few ladies that they have been actually even here in America, you know, to do their journey. We made like, you know, lots of fermented food like sauerkraut or, you know, like fermented vegetable picklet. And there was kefir, and also there was the kombucha time. You know, in Italy, we are still back, you know, like the kombucha was still something new there. So I was one of the few actually that was into that. And that's because, you know, like I came here the first time and when I try a kombucha, I was like, oh my God. Why we don't have these things there? So when I came back home, you know, like I say, I gotta do study more into fermentation. And so, you know, I decided to bake with fermented water, with kefir, with kombucha, with, you know, like all the things that I could have ferment. And you could have seen the, like, you know, once I remember I tried to ferment peppers. And the bread had such an aroma of peppers and the flavor as well. And the color changed. So then I started to bake with kombucha. I tried to make like simple Roma style pizza with kombucha water and a little part of kefir to give, like, you know, the extra spring of the yeast. You know, my friends thought that I was crazy at that time because nobody trusted in, you know, those kind of fermentation things. You know, like, they do ferment lots of wine, but they didn't know exactly, you know, what's going on with kombucha and kefir. So they thought that was a dangerous process. But to me, it was so interesting and safe because there are actually studies and books and, you know, like, it's still an ancient thing, you know, like, really old, like sourdough. So why not to try it? And I had such fantastic results, you know. And when I started to see these things, you know, like, I was like, this is where I have to go. Like, you know, this is actually, you know, like, the direction. So I say, okay, now I got to start to work in some bakeries for free, obviously, because, you know, otherwise nobody's going to take you and, you know, say, I'm going to teach you things. So I worked for free for a long time, actually, you know, like, I didn't care about money. And even today, I don't care about money, you know, like, I really want to learn, you know, like, every day. And because there is so much in the baking world to learn, actually. I worked in a few bakeries in Ischia, in my island, where they, you know, like, have still the old way fashion way to do things, you know, like, so still everything by hand.
Wow.
And, you know, like, I was like, you guys are crazy, you know, like, you know, nobody do this anymore, you know, like, it's going to take forever to make 10 loaves of bread, you know. They were like, yeah, but that's how we want to do. And, right, you know, if you like it, well, if you don't, you know, that's what we say to our customers. But I realized that it was such a big difference. So I kept learning every day. And once, you know, like, I remember, I say, okay, now I learned bread. Now I got to switch into pastries. So that was the time, you know, because obviously, you know, like, my background, you know, like, I, you know, like, I usually eat breads, carbs, like pasta and, you know, like, then there is the part of the protein, which is fish. But there is also the part of the sweet, the pastries. And, you know, like, I remember that I grew up at school, you know, like, and my mom, she usually makes me panino. But there was also the time that I would have bring with me a cornetto, which is an Italian version of croissant.
Mm.
So I say, I got to learn this because if I will ever go back to America, you know, I got to share these things with my people there,
oh, yeah,
you know. So that's why I say, okay, I'm going to work now into a pastry shop. And that time I got really lucky too, because the owner of this bakery and pastry shop, he also won a competition of the best panettone in the world of 2019. So I got, you know, like, the luck, you know, like, I was really lucky to learn from him. I learned how to make panettone. I used the sourdough properly, you know, like, to make even pastries and sweets. So
yeah, your panettone is, yeah, legendary around here.
Yeah.
I mean, people were going nuts for it. And that's how I first found out about you. People were telling me it was cotton candy bread.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Panettone is actually the thing that made me here, I think, popular.
Yeah.
You know, because nobody makes it here. And it's such a long process, you know, and it's made only with sourdough. It's like 3 to 4 days process. You know, you gotta to know exactly what you do with that because it's really hard. I mean,
it's crazy when you hang it upside down.
Yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's almost the end of the process when you have to bake them and then right away you have to hang them. And, you know, like, you fork them with, like, some specific screws. And then you fork it and you hang upside down. And if you don't do it in time, the panettone, the structure collapses and falls down. And you lose 3 days of work in 1 minute. I mean, it's...
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. But, you know, it pays off. Like, you know, it's such a big satisfaction. Once that you see the final product, you are like, it's worth, you know, like, it's such something unique. And, you know, like, I'm like glad, you know, like, that I can share this thing here with, you know, like, the Connecticut people for now.
Right.
You know, in Italy, panettone, it's considered like an holiday sweet bread. Even though nowadays it's taking over and it's being made all year round, here I like to play with flavors, I would say. So, like, you know, because I also join farmers markets, I see, like, you know, what kind of fruit or vegetable is available, and then I kind of candy them and put in my dough, in my panettone. So it becomes like now a seasonal thing. And, you know, like let's say summertime, usually the traditional panettone for Christmas is made with candied orange and raisin. On summertime, I'm planning to use strawberries or, you know, something that I can pick from local farms around me in Monroe, like Sport Hill Farm, for example.
I love Sport Hill Farm.
They have such great products.
Yes, really good.
Yeah, so I will candy those fruits and then I will put in my panettone for sure.
Yeah, and I, you know, another thing I've seen you do with the panettone is you put chocolate in it.
Yes.
That's not normal, right?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay,
it
okay,
is.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when I saw it, I was like, that looks like a giant chocolate chip muffin, baby. I love
it. Yeah, yeah. People at the beginning, they were like, whoa, this is a huge muffin. I'm like, this is not a muffin.
Exactly.
It doesn't take 20 minutes to do this thing. Believe me.
Exactly.
It takes 3 days at least, and it's not a muffin.
Exactly.
They were like, well, you know, once the people try panettone, the artisanal panettone, they are like, this is the best thing I ever had. It was to me the same feeling the first time. When I had my panettone, you know, like I was really little, and me and my cousins, you know, like we had panettone and Pandoro for Christmas, and then we used to spread like some Nutella on pistachio on it. It was the best dessert ever. I was like, I got to bring this with me. You know, like if I move, I have to make sure that I have these things with me. So, yeah, I mean, there is a big difference between artisanal panettone and the supermarket one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The
supermarket one, it shouldn't even be considered a panettone. It's just, you know, a piece of cardboard inside another cardboard box, you know. It's so dry and bad, and the shelf life is forever, and I don't understand, you know, like, why do that?
It's so funny you say that, because that's what everyone always says to me, that it's just bad.
And indeed.
Because when I said to some of my friends, I said, and just folks in general in my family, I said, there's this guy who's making panettone, and it's unbelievable, and they're like, oh, that stuff's carbon, it's terrible. I said, no. I said, this guy, it's like cotton candy bread. It's incredible. It'll blow your mind. And when I first had yours, I had one of the small ones.
I had just
missed you. You were just over at Finney's.
Yeah.
Gail and Steve, who actually have been on the show.
Oh.
And I went to school with Steve. I went to high school with Steve. And I had just missed you, and I was so bummed. And I'm like, "Oh my God, not only have I wanted to meet this guy, but I've wanted to try his legendary panettone." And they go, "We got a little one. We'll give it to you to try." Gave it to me. I waited for my girlfriend to come by, and we tried it. And we loved it so much. We couldn't wait to get our hands on more. And so I'm definitely going to be ordering more once it's available for sure.
I mean,
you can tell the love that goes into that.
Yeah, like, believe me, it's a lot going on. You know, again, it's I use the best ingredients. You know, like the things that I cannot get here, those are imported from Italy. Just think about it. I need the flour from Italy to make panettone. So I have to order it like at least 4 to 6 months in advance. And, you know, it takes money, you know, like, and obviously nobody, you know, like nobody knows these things, you know, like, and I think, you know, like, those are things, you know, that I should say more.
It's important to get it out, and I'm glad that you can come on the show to let everyone know all that goes into it and all the sacrifice too, because you're here from Italy, you're missing your family and everything like that, and so
exactly. That's why, you know, I decided to candy my own fruit, because, you know, it's really hard to get, you know, imported things from there. And I believe, you know, like supporting locals, it's even better sometimes. So if I can use the ingredients from here, why not?
Yeah.
So that's why I say before, you know, like when I get like, you know, fresh fruits from farms, is because those are going to be the best ingredients that I can get. So like local honey or like local eggs, special eggs with beautiful orange shiny yolks. Butter, European butter, the best one, you know, like I try to get the best ingredients. So And, you know, even the boxes that we do, they are made by hand. You know, like, so we put so much effort, you know, like in our product, you know, like, and sometimes people say, oh, your panettone is a bit more expensive than the supermarket one. But I'm like, you know, there is a big difference between this product and the one that you can get on these pallets of, you know, like boxes, you know, like full of panettone that you can find in Christmas time. You know, it's not the same, believe me. You gotta try to know it, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like for some folks, they're willing to cut costs by not having the best ingredients and have a so-so product. And then there's some people that are willing to spend the money to have an incredible product that blows people away.
Yeah.
And I feel like the second way is definitely the better way, especially when you're, you know, such as yourself, when you're so passionate about what you're doing and everything.
Yeah, no, so. It's... I'm really glad today to share these things with you as well. You know?
You're not a corner cutter.
Exactly. You know, I do not take shortcuts.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, the panettone process is like very long. You know, first you start with the starter, which is a stiff sourdough, quite different than the usual sourdough starter that you find here in bakeries. It has a different hydration. And even the way you treat and you take care of it, it's way more different.
Wow.
You spend like, you know, a whole day almost with it. So,
wow.
Sometimes my wife is like, why don't you get married with your starter? You know, like, you two are perfect together. You know, like,
That's so funny.
I really spend lots of time with it.
That's so funny.
Yeah, you got to feed it like, you know, 3 times a day before making a panettone. So that means like every 4 hours. So you basically spend your first day feeding your starter. And then comes the second day, which is the first dough of panettone. And that takes like 4-ish to 1 hour minutes of mixing. And that dough needs to ferment slowly for about 16 hours or even 18, depends from temperatures. But, you know, that's you know, like the difference between an artisanal product and the one that you buy. Because, you know, the ones that, like breads, you know, like the same concept is for breads as well. You know, supermarket bread is never going to be the same as an artisanal sourdough bread. You know, the difference of fermentation timing and, you know, like the ingredients especially, I mean, it's way different. So for panettone, I basically invest my week, my life, you know, like my days. And I don't mind, you know, like I love doing it. Sometimes I got to wake up in the middle of the night.
I was going to ask, do you have to wake up in the middle of the night?
Yeah. And I mean, I would say right now I'm lucky because my kitchen is close to my bed. So
sure, yeah.
A few steps and I get there.
Beautiful.
But yeah, that's what it takes.
Making bread in your sleep.
Yeah. The breads, yeah.
You ever sleepwalk over to the kitchen and start making bread?
I mean, that's what I don't know, but it could be. Yeah.
Oh,
in Italy, bakers, they are considered the heroes of the night because that's what they do. You know, like they are usually the only ones awake working in the middle of the night. And when the rest of the population wakes up, they can appreciate it and, you know, see what was happening, you know, like a few hours before.
Yeah. That's so cool.
It's, you know, like... You gotta do love this job, you know, because I think it's not for everybody, you know, like waking up, you know, like, you know, in the middle of the night and doing this. And then, you know, the day doesn't finish there, you know, like you don't finish like, you know, in the afternoon, like a bakery closing time, you know, you have to keep thinking like, you know, what's going on with the dough the day after, you know, like, and the fermentation especially, you know, like you cannot always control it, you know, like bacteria and yeast, you know, they are alive and they do whatever they want. So you can give them a guide, you know, to where to go. But in the end, they are always going to be their own boss, you know.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah. And you know, speaking of marrying your sourdough, I'm a minister. We could do that anytime you want.
Oh, absolutely. No. I mean, We we are thinking to do even sourdough classes in the future.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's super, super awesome. I'm sure a lot of people could learn a lot from you. So that's tremendous. Talk to me about when you came to America back in 2017. So you came here to work at, when you came to work at Atticus, right?
No, 2017 was when I got a working visa, actually. Right. Yeah, I got lucky. You know, I was sponsored by an Italian restaurant in Bridgeport. I didn't stay for so long. It was like 1 year and a half. And, you know, like I was pretty much doing everything, running the whole kitchen and pizzeria.
Gotcha.
But, you know, I got...
So you can cook too?
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. Oh, I love cooking.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, in my family, you know, like me and my brother and my sisters, we do this every day. You know,
right.
Like my sister is amazing making pastries.
Nice.
My brother as well. And we love cooking, absolutely, because of the fish that my brother usually... you know, brings at home. We got to make sure that, you know, like that we make a good meal with that.
I feel like we should bring your family over and have you guys open a family dinner. Restaurant called Mazzella's.
Yeah, hey, why not?
That'd be tremendous.
That's the old Italian way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would love, you know, to have all my family together, you know, because, you know, family for us is something really important.
Yeah.
It's actually the first thing, you know, that we consider. I feel nostalgic about that sometimes, you know, but I have my new family here now.
Yeah.
You know? I got married when, you know, we were talking about when I came here with this working visa, I also met my wife. Yeah. We met there. And then, you know, when I decided to go back to Italy because I wanted to do more experience and learn more about baking, you know, I felt young and I wanted to learn, you know. And my wife, you know, she at the same time, you know, she was coming to Italy to teach English to a little Italian kid. So we say, like, you know, we will meet there again, you know. So that's how we spend the rest of our time there. And then we say, you know, like, this is great, you know, like, you know, there is something between us, you know, that connects us for sure. So then I decided to come back. It was then 2019,
right.
A little bit before COVID.
And then you were over at Atticus.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no, no. Actually,
oh, no,
before
not yet.
That,
okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah. you know, when I was in Italy planning to come here 2019, I made already my own resources on bakeries in Connecticut. And
gotcha.
I found the best voted bakeries, artisanal ones. That was Atticus and also Flour Water Salt Bread in Darien.
Yes. I hear so much about that place.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, this is where I'm going to go, you know, like I'm sure. So even before to come here, I was already planning to go and do this experience there.
Awesome.
So we got married and then, you know, like, you know, lots of places during COVID, they didn't do so well, unfortunately. But that bakery in Darien was doing unbelievable great. Yeah, that was one of the places that during COVID worked a lot. Like, you know, we did so much bread and pastries, you know, like there were so many people coming from all around Connecticut just for that. So yeah, I stayed for like maybe almost 1 year working there as a baker. Yeah, you know, like I realized right away that there were different methods, you know, to make sourdough. You guys here, you know, call the sourdough. In Italy, we call it pasta madre or lievito madre. But
pasta madre.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
But in the end, you know, the concept is the same, you know. So I wanted to learn, obviously. So I did my experience there. And then, you know, right after I decided to go to New Haven, Atticus, which is another legendary bakery there. I love that place. We still have a beautiful relationship and I learned a lot. They use the best flour that you can get here around. They use only local ingredients. And indeed, I decided to use the flour that I make my own bread from them. So when I need, like, you know, flour, local flour, I just go to Atticus and I say, you know, like, I need these bags, you know, like for my breads.
Yeah, they're legendary. And they're making some crazy pizza right now, I hear.
The rivals. Market that just opened.
Yeah,
you know,
Atticus Market.
They are making the difference, you know. New Haven is really popular with pizza.
I love New Haven.
as Italian, very authentic Italian guy, really obsessed with that. I have, you know, my own concept for Napolitan style pizza, but I have to be honest, what they do is great, you know, and
yeah, what do you think of New Haven pizza?
So, you know, like the Napolitan style pizza, you know, like to me, it's only one. And, you know,
do we do that well here? The Naples style? Do we? It's not the same. What's the difference?
Well, I mean, first the timing of the cooking timing.
Gotcha.
You know, like usually the real Napolitan style pizza should cook in less than 90 seconds. And not 5, 7, 9 minutes, you know.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that makes already a big difference on the texture of the dough. Because a pizza that's super light and fluffy with the huge cornicione, also called the crust here, you know, you can get the product only with a very high temperature and a quick time, you know, literally in 90 seconds, the pizza should be out of the oven. The New Haven style pizza, I would say, you know, it's more like an American Napolitan pizza. So I think those are, you know, the Italian people that came here a long time ago and, you know, tried to make, you know, their Italian food. So, you know, it's more influenced by Americans. That's pretty, you know, like, yeah, because then you get a different texture. The New Haven style pizza, it's more like crispy. You know, like it's much more like, you know, stiffer than the Napolitan one. And, you know, like, even the way you put the topping on it, you know, like, it's different, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, in Naples, you know, we are more like, you know, tradition, you know, we keep still, you know, it simple. Here, you know, I saw, like, putting clams or, you know, things like that. But,
yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, that clam pizza is popular here, yeah. I mean, it's that clam pizza wins best pizza in the country, like, all the time. It's wild, yeah. It's crazy, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. I can't imagine being from Italy what it's like seeing the pizza here. I mean, it must drive you nuts. Yeah.
Especially, you know, because as a pizzaiolo, you know, like, I've been working pizzeria, so it's not that I'm making this up.
Like, not only you from Italy, where pizza's number one, but you made it over there.
You know, I spent kind of like 8 years doing that, so.
Yeah.
I think I know what exactly was that.
Yeah. I would love to try a pizza from you one day.
Oh, yeah.
You should
make pizza. I would love to make a pizza for you, man. Yeah.
Well, no, you should. Well, not just for me, but like just in general. Like, I would pay tons of money to try that.
Yeah, no, I think we should do that.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, there are lots of things that I would love to share, you know, here. Yes, now I started with artisanal panettone, and guess what? Now it's Easter time, so we will.
Yeah.
Be,
so yeah. Yeah.
There is a Colomba di Pasqua, which is the same kind of like texture of panettone. It's still like a 3 days process, but has the shape of a dove, which seems like, you know, peace, a sign of peace. Yeah, it seems hard to say that nowadays, you know, like with what's going on in the other side of the world. But
yeah, Ukraine, terrible. Yeah, it's terrible.
We try to do our best. And yeah, we also make
pastiera napoletana. Tell me about, so you brought me this wonderful, wonderful pastry.
Yeah, I brought you a pastiera napoletana, which is a Napolitan pie, I would say. It's basically a short crust dough on the outside. And then there is the inside that's like cooked wheat. And then there is ricotta, candied orange. And then, you know, like you can get double textures of this product. And the fun thing is that this product gets better and more flavorful with the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
like tomorrow it will taste better.
Actually. Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah, because
good to
all
know.
The aromas will combine together. And,
okay.
You know, like, yeah, it's something that I love it.
You had me at regatta. I love that stuff. I can eat that by the spoonful.
yeah, you will love it, I'm sure.
thank you so much. Oh my God. Not only does it look beautiful, but I'm sure it's going to taste absolutely incredible. I can't wait to share it with the folks. What are you more passionate about, one pastry or one bread more than another, or do you just love it all?
Well, I mean, I love food in general, for sure. I love pasta, I love bread, I love pastries, I love fish especially.
Mm.
But if I would say, you know, what's my favorite thing to bake, I think it will be panettone.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a challenge, you know, like it's never going to be the same and, you know, like it takes you in the process. Then I would say there is sourdough breads as well. But panettone for sure, it's the most interesting thing so far for me.
Gotcha. And, you know, Easter is on the horizon. And I know you're probably going to do some Easter pre-orders and stuff like that. So what can people expect for those pre-orders?
Yes. So we will start today, actually.
Okay, cool.
And, you know, like it will be until Easter time pre-orders.
Awesome.
We will have, you know, availability for picking up at our location in Monroe or at the Trumbull Farmers Market on Thursday.
Cool.
And, you know, we will definitely have the Colomba di Pasqua, which is this dove shape that I told you. Similar to panettone, and it is going to come with like four different flavors.
Nice.
So we will have the traditional one with candied orange. Then we will have a tribal chocolate Colomba with amarene cherries, Italian cherries. And then there will be a Rocher hazelnut glaze on top.
Oh, man.
That's awesome. I want to be specific. You know, I use good quality chocolate too. It's a Valrhona chocolate, so it's really expensive stuff, but I mean, once that you have that chocolate, you're like, oh my god,
forget it,
this is paradise. Yeah. We will have also a passion fruit chocolate and Caliboot Belgian ruby chocolate.
Ooh.
With then like a crunch cocoa glaze on top.
Ooh.
And the special flavor is coming up. That will be a surprise for the folks that will come by.
Gotcha. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, that is some awesome sounding stuff.
Yeah, and there will be also pastiera napoletana for sure, and our traditional biscotti, like limoncello biscotti, cantucci toscani, and some ischitani biscotti. We will probably have along even some breakfast pastries, but right now I don't want to focus on those. I would rather, you know, stay on the tradition and keep like Easter food on.
Gotcha. And I know you're in Monroe. How are you liking Monroe, Connecticut so far?
I mean, it's quiet, the opposite of where I'm from.
Yeah.
You know, like it's no sea or island. It's more like woods.
Exactly.
So I felt like, wow, there are lots of deer here.
You know, right.
Lots of squirrels. And
yep. Yeah.
I love squirrels, actually.
Yeah, there's something,
it's
huh?
so fun. They are fantastic animals. You know, to me, they are the funniest
They're
animals.
They're so funny.
Yeah.
They are
so curious. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually saw online there's a guy on Instagram who has a pet squirrel.
I love it.
And they do everything together.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's interesting. Like, very interesting.
Yeah,
so,
you know, that could be my future pet.
Yeah. I think Pierluigi needs a pet squirrel.
I mean, the squirrel, yes. My friends, you know, they make fun of me. They say, oh, you should call your future bakery the squirrel Pierluigi, or the bread squirrel.
Oh man, that is so funny. That is so funny.
But,
So where do you see? So you obviously, you like we were saying before we got going, you would love to see this become a bakery and have your own space.
Yeah.
So tell me about that goal and kind of what you're thinking as far as that trajectory.
Yeah. So every day I try to imagining, you know, like how it could be. We are looking for, you know, like a future space to move in, you know, because we are actually tight now, you know, like we cannot satisfy the demand sometimes. So we need to move out, you know, we need to produce more and, you know, like try, you know, like to make everybody happy and even my wife.
Yeah. And how did you come up to the name of the business?
Yeah. So the fatto a mano, which means made by hand, you know, it respects me, you know, like the artisanal, the craft or what I do. And the design, it's a castle, and my wife actually draw it. The castle is my island, Ischia. In Ischia, we have this castle that it's unique, and, you know, like it's full of tradition down there. And
so
it's
cool.
Also where my father has his boat. So,
oh, that's awesome.
I will never forget about that.
That is so cool. That is so cool. And I love your merch. Yeah, everyone's definitely got to go to your website and check out the merch. So for those listening who are like, man, I really, really want to try what Pierluigi's got going on, Tell them about your website and where they can find you.
Yeah, so our website, we have like a Instagram page, Fatto a Mano, and also we have a Facebook page, the same, and our website, fattoamanobreads.com. You can get there, you know, like you can find on the, you know, like events, the new information, you know, like for the things coming up. Let's say like now the Easter, you know, like Trumbull farmers markets or big sales from our house. There will be more coming up for sure. And if, you know, you want to place a pre-order, you can just DM or email us, or every Sunday at 6 p.m. you can place your pre-order. But again, you know, like you'll be better off, you know, set your alarm, because, you know, things get sell out fast. Yeah,
exactly. That's awesome. And, you know, a couple more things before we wrap up. And thank you so much for joining me. This is quite an honor for me, because like I was saying, I see all the wonderful things you're doing. And, you know, like, you know, Steph Webster reached out to me last year and was like, you got to get this guy on. He's incredible. And
so
she's
lucky.
Right. And
And
you're spreading like crazy, and it's great. And I feel like every day I see you doing something really cool with someone in Connecticut, and it's fantastic. You know, one thing I want to ask is, you recently were named 40 Under 40 Connecticut Magazine. What does that feel like?
Wow, I mean, that was such a
You're on that list with some pretty awesome people, man.
I'm like, yeah. When I saw that article, you know, like I was like, this is such a great satisfaction. You know, it's something that it really means a lot to me. You know, that means like, you know, I should keep doing this, and you know, it's a motivation for me for sure. And you know that tells me, you know, like that we are doing great.
Yeah, no, you're doing really great.
Yeah, super glad, super happy, and glad, you know, that we have been like featured by all of this great.
Yeah, and I'm super happy that I was able to
Thank you so much.
Your first podcast.
This is my honor.
I was able to get you into.
I'm super happy. This is my first podcast. Exactly.
You're a natural. So if you got, you know, if you do any more in the future, you're going to be all set.
Thank you for training me.
Of course. No, you're great. This has been a great conversation. I definitely, have a major question at the end. I want to ask you that. I ask all my guests the pizza question, but before I get that, two more things. You know, what is your favorite part? What's the best part to you about what you do, and what's the hardest part about what you do?
Well, the hardest part is definitely educating people, you know, because the Italian food here is being seen like a bit confused, you know, like, so for example about panettone or bread or, you know, anything else, you know, like they have maybe a bad conception, or, you know, like, you know, you got to let them understand, you know, like what's going on through the process. And, you know, like that's, I think, you know, like one of the most challenging things, you know, like to explain to people, like educating them. But I think, you know, like this is something, you know, like that can be applied on everything, you know, like good food, you know, like needs to be explained, you know, like it needs a specific, you know, like section, you know, like for people, you know, to understand it, you know, because good food, you know, like it's something that should be understood, you know, like by everybody, you know, like, so that, yeah, that's what I think. And, you know, like the easiest part, I don't know if there is an easy part. I think, you know, like there is a fun part for sure, which is seeing my panettone hanging upside down or, you know, seeing the end of the process, you know, people happy. I think that there is nothing better. You know, they see a customer coming back and say, this is the best thing I ever had. Or like, you know, this is, you know, like real stuff, you know, things like that. Yeah, this is a satisfaction to me.
Gotcha,
for sure.
Gotcha. Let me throw in another question. When you're not so busy, maybe you don't have time to do anything else, but when you're not baking and everything and you know, working on your business, what do you like to do to unwind and just have fun?
Well, I'm trying to working out. I'm trying to join to the gym and do some things.
Gotcha.
But I still think about bread.
The Muay Thai, right?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Maybe maybe get into a little bit more of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome, very cool. Well, listen, one thing I ask my guests before they leave me, and I've been doing this for 2 seasons now, and we just touched on it a little bit, is pizza, you know, because Connecticut has, you know, they're known in the United States here for having some of the best pizza in the country. So have you had a chance to eat any pizza around here? And if so, which one? I mean, usually my question is when you go to New Haven and you try the pizza there, what was a place that really stood out to you or you liked?
So maybe because I'm Italian, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody. You know?
No.
This is just my own thought.
Sure. We're not hurting any feelings here.
Yeah, no. From also, you know, because from where I'm from and for what I've been, you know, like doing, you know, like, so I, for me, the Napolitan style pizza in Connecticut, the best one is definitely in one place, in Milford, in the Strega restaurant. Yeah.
Milford?
Yes.
Okay.
Strega restaurant.
Strega.
Yeah, you got to check that out if you didn't yet. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
To me, that's the closest.
Huh.
Yeah, authentic Napolitan style pizza.
Okay, cool.
Perhaps the ingredients are also imported from Italy, so you can actually get the real buffalo mozzarella on the pizza, and you know, things that are hard to find, you know, like here. So you gotta try.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Were there any other pizza places you've been to that you liked, or not really?
Yeah, I mean, there are some more. I mean, that was my favorite one.
Okay.
There is also Zanelli Pizzeria in New Haven.
Okay.
They make a good Napolitan style
Zanelli
pizza too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, there is a new place too that just opened in Norwalk. It's called Siena. It's inside an hotel, and they make a good wood fire pizza as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah, the top one to me is Strega, I think.
Gotcha. And then, of course, with everything that happened during COVID-19 pandemic, I also like to ask my guests, what are some places they like to eat restaurant-wise?
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, how important it is to support our local restaurants. So, what are some restaurants that you really like to go to?
Yeah. So, this would be a funny thing.
Especially for someone from Italy that cooks.
No.
We need your opinion.
This is funny. I do not eat out. You know, like, I usually cook at home. I don't blame you. Yeah, you know, my wife too, you know, like she would rather me making pasta than going in some restaurant and eat pasta.
Gotcha. Because you make it from scratch, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man.
Everything.
Oh,
man. And even the...
I don't even know why I asked you that.
No. We also have a little like, you know, because, you know, we are in Moreau, so we have lots of land. So we have like our yard, you know, during the summertime, we blend our vegetables, you know, like, so I use every ingredient from there, you know, like potatoes, eggplant, everything, you know, whatever we can. Otherwise, I just go to the farms around me and I get the best ingredients. So this is funny though, because when I go to eat out, I usually do not eat Italian food, but I would rather have Asian food. I love Asian food
so
a lot.
Do I.
Yeah,
so do I.
I mean, I'm a lover of that. I mean, yeah. I think one of my future, you know, destination, at least for a little trip, you know, a journey, will be Japan, because it's really worth, you know, to go there. And
you like sushi? Because
I love
fish, right?
Fish, yeah.
I'm obsessed with sushi.
Oh my god, man. And ramen as well. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. I think Mecha Noodles Bar.
Yes. So
it's
good.
Really good.
So good. Yeah. I'm hoping to have the owners of that place on the show soon.
People
keep telling me to get them on, but you and I should get together sometime and get some Asian food.
Yeah.
I would love to do that.
Yeah. Oh,
I would love to do that. That would be great.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, cool. Awesome. And any plans for Fatto e Mano to make pasta, to sell pasta, or is that?
So okay.
I can only imagine the pasta you make.
Yeah,
it must be
amazing. So once I will find the final destination for my bakery, we will definitely offering you know, like lots of things, because right now I cannot make and sell everything because of the license that I'm operating with, which is a cottage food license operation.
Yep.
As soon as I will have my space, you know, like I can actually do and sell, you know, other things. So
Very cool.
Will definitely have them, you know, handmade pasta, pizza, not Napolitan style pizza, but I will have a special one.
Sweet.
You guys are going to love it. Sourdough breads. And I will come, you know, with panettone and Italian pastry, traditional pastry as well. Yeah, for sure.
I can't wait. We have so much to look forward to with everything you're doing.
We will.
I think it's exciting to just to know that a bakery is going to be on the horizon, and we'll get to enjoy so many great things that you're doing. It's really, really exciting.
Can't wait.
And just having you here is exciting, and having you in Connecticut to share all the great things that you brought over from where you're from. And it's beautiful, man. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for giving me some of your time. This was a great conversation.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Definitely going to have, we got to have you back on there's so much we could have talked about. And then of course, you know, with everything that you're going to be doing in the future, there's going to be a lot to talk about.
We will have a second part of this podcast.
Exactly. So thank you once more, my friend, the great and powerful Pierluigi Mazzella
from
Fatto Emano Breads is here. Definitely check them out, fattoemanobreads.com, and check out what they got going on. Remember, the pre-orders on Sunday, set an alarm, don't miss out. And then, of course, you can always check them out at local farmer markets. Just check out their events page. And then for all those Instagram and Facebook folks, you can find them on there. Just look them up. It's FATTOAMANO. And thanks, buddy. You have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Have a good one.
You got it. Take care. Huge thanks once again to my guest on the podcast today, my man, Pierluigi Mazzella. Thank you so much, PL, for coming by Brookfield to chat. Cannot wait for you to open your bakery storefront and continue to amaze and bring joy to Connecticut and beyond with your amazing treats. Thanks for bringing some by, and I cannot wait to come by and see you over in Monroe very soon. Yet again, another episode of Sweeten Up is in the books. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. We would greatly appreciate your feedback. Thank you as always to my best friends, the guys who make it all possible, post-production and music Morgan Luzzi, production and art director Kurt Vinci, editor and writer Nick Passacretta, and a special thanks as always to Devin Cipelli. Season 2 continues to roll on. However, we are one more week away from not only the end of Season 2, but the 2-year anniversary of the Sweeten Up podcast. We thank you so much for listening, and we would like to thank all of our guests for an incredible last 2 years. Without our wonderful guests, and of course, you the listener, none of this is possible. So with that being said, we will see you next week for the conclusion of Season 2 and our special season-ending guest. But until then, you know the deal. Stay safe, stay healthy, love you all, peace.